following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Look and See audio production. Entertainment is always free.
And now, it's time for the Broken Sea Audio Production, OTR Swag Cast.
And tonight on the Swag Cast, Escape was radio's leading anthology series of high adventure, airing on CBS from July 7, 1947 to September 25, 1954. Since the program did not have a regular sponsor like Suspense, it was subjected to the frequent schedule shifts and lower production budgets, although Richfield Oil signed on as sponsor for 5 months in 1950. Despite these problems, Escape enthralled many listeners during its seven-year run. The series' well-remembered opening started with, "Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape." Of the more than 230 Escape episodes, most have survived in good condition. Many story premises, both originals and adaptations, involved the protagonist in dire life or death strait, and the series featured more science fiction and supernatural tales than suspense. Some of the memorable adaptations include Carl Stevenson's Lennington vs. the Ants, Algernon Blackwood's Confession, Ray Bradbury's oft-reprinted Mars is Heaven, George R. Stewart's Earth Abides, Richard Connell's The Most Dangerous Game, and F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Diamond as Big as the Ritz. Actors on the series included Elvia Allman, Eleanor Audrey, Harley Bear, Harry Bartell, John Denner, Virginia Gregg, Marvin Miller, Frank Lovejoy, Elliot Lewis, Wilbur Hatt, Leith Stevens, Vincent Price, and William Conrad. Enjoy the show.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are standing in a jungle clearing, lost in the wilds of Ecuador, while surrounding you and creeping slowly closer is a party of Popayan headhunters who are waiting only for the sun to set before making you their prize.
Listen now as Escape brings you Ross Murray's exciting story, Incident in Quito.
Manuel. Hola, Manuel.
Huh? Oh, Ramon. What are you doing here?
It is the first of the month.
Already?
Already.
Oh, I'm upset. I cannot even remember the day.
Oh. What is wrong, my friend?
Would you like some wine?
I would.
Oh, wait then, I will get it. Oh, sit, Ramon.
Thank you.
For you?
Gracias.
Bueno,
sí. You said that you are upset?
Oh, yes.
What is it, Manuel?
Oh, it is about Senor Harvey.
The American explorer?
Ah.
Been a long time since Quito has had so much excitement, huh?
Yes, I know.
To shoot such a beautiful young wife. The man must be mad.
He is.
Truly?
Truly.
But why should his madness upset you?
Oh, I knew him. I did business with him.
Well, again, what has this to do with you?
More wine?
Hey. Please. Your health. And yours, my good friend.
Well, you see. Ramon, did you know that Señor Harvey was married once before?
No, I did not.
Well, he was. To a woman named Edith, a woman a bit older than he was.
Oh?
Yeah, was this Doña Edith, who was his patron as well as his wife. She financed his exploration since Señor Harvey was young and he had no reputation.
Oh. But what has all
patience,
this...
Patience, my friend.
Well, no.
Now, you know the Popoyan group of the Jíbaro?
Yes, I know.
Well, it was not known until 10 years ago that they could shrink the heads of their enemies without the usual distortion.
This too, I know.
Well, Señor Harvey learned of their discovery and convinced Doña Edith that to be the first to secure several of these heads would ensure his reputation.
How fortunate to have such a patron, eh?
Not so, Ramon.
But why not?
Because Doña Edith was a cruel woman. At no time did she forget to remind him that all he had was hers to give. And you must understand that.
Coming to this pest hole without a single civilized comfort to remind me that I am not a filthy native.
But Edith, I've done all I could.
It has not been enough. We're going
but
back.
But we'll be there tomorrow. You know what this means to me.
To you? To you? What about to me?
I didn't ask you to come along.
No, you didn't. But I am paying for this miserable expedition, and don't you ever forget it.
No, I won't.
And if I choose to come along, that is my business. And if I choose to return now, that is also my business.
But it's only one more day.
If I have to go through one more day without washing my hair,
I... We've been through this before. Yes, Edith, I know you have lovely hair. It's the longest, blondest, most beautiful hair I've ever seen. But I'm sick and tired of hearing you talk about it.
Oh?
Why don't you talk about what I'm trying to do? About how I've walked and sweated and rotted trying to make a career for myself. Talk about the things I've sacrificed. About the comforts I've given up.
Are you finished?
Yes. I'm sorry, Edith. I didn't mean
oh,
to...
Oh, stop it, Frank. Don't be a hypocrite. You're not sorry, and you know it. Don't worry, you can have your one day more, but only one more. Tomorrow night, we start back.
Edith.
What do you want?
I'll see what I can do about a place for you to clean up when we get there.
Thank you. We've been here almost all day. I told you we were wasting our time.
But you can't rush these people.
They've got till sundown. If they're not here by then, I'm leaving.
They'll be here. That's what the drums are for. It takes time to relay messages to the tribal centers.
As I said, sundown.
But you can't start back at night. You'd get lost as soon as you left the clearing.
I might, but Alfaro wouldn't.
Alfaro? But he's my...
He's my guy. I'm paying him. And he'll take me wherever I want to go and whenever I want to go.
Can't you forget about your money for one minute?
You wouldn't be here if it weren't for my money. And while we're on the subject, let me tell you about my latest decision.
Decision?
Yes. I've decided that this is the last trip you'll make. I can't stand them anymore.
But I told you, you don't have to come along. I know it isn't fair for you to have to go through all this.
That's why there won't be any more trips.
I can't go alone, is that it?
Exactly. So you had better make this try a good one. There won't be another dime for me.
Look, Edith, Alfaro rigged some sort of a shower deal down near the stream. Why don't you freshen up a bit? Maybe we can talk this over a little later when you feel better.
There's nothing to talk over. You have until Sunday.
Why must you always...
Señor, they are here. Look, the West Trail. The Popoyan.
Good, Alfaro. Take them over to the trunks. I'll be there in a minute.
Si, señor.
Well, Edith, they're here.
I heard.
You see, darling, I told you
It doesn't alter my decision. As I said before, you have until sundown.
Don't worry, I'll be ready. The toughest part is over. Pack up, Edith. We'll leave at sundown.
Mm-hmm.
I have done as you requested. The trunks are unlocked and the trade goods are ready to show.
Good. Have you talked to the chief?
See, and we must hurry. They start back to the village by nightfall.
Well, that's all right. We'll have what we want by then. First off, who do we trade with? The whole group or just the chief?
The chief, senor. That is the rule of the Jivaro people.
I see. Well, let's get started. Call the chief up here and open the small trunk first.
Oh, Senor Harvey, to do that would be an insult. We must take the trunk to him.
All right. All right, come on. Easy, Doug.
Hello.
Tell the chief we're honored by his presence, that we have some things for him that will make him very happy.
Buru gami lak mino di kain sum vendoro masi. Eto mele questiga vendoro vincenta.
Yeah.
And tell him, Alfaro, that it would make me very happy if he would give me in exchange a sample or two of his very famous handiwork.
Sama gonrinto esti guru questica vendoro masin que le borjivaro puestamo por daru male vincenta.
Sono vinorgas, venda o que borgami la jivaro.
What did he say, Alfaro?
He said he will wait and see what you have to trade.
All right. Let's start with the small trunk first. Show him the knives.
Si, Senor Harvey.
Tell him these knives are made of the finest metal and there's one for every member of the tribe.
Si. San Calibendo Marisa Mohuru Campuestamo se fande pulquara rinto.
Nado.
He said no, Senor Harvey.
Well, then let's go to the mirrors in the bottom of the trunk, but hurry, we haven't much time. I don't know why we've had so much trouble. We've shown them everything we have. What's wrong with him?
He said we have nothing good to trade.
He's crazy. You tell him there must be something here he wants. Go, tell him.
I cannot. To contradict the chief is to die. No, senor, we have failed. Sundown has come.
All right, then. Well, tell him I'll be back in a few weeks. Ask him what he wants me to bring back. Ask him if he'll meet us in the clearing when
time
I get...
Time to go, Frank. Alfaro, get the rest of the boys together. You're coming with us, Frank.
Give me a few minutes, Edith. I want to tell the chief I'll be back.
You won't be back. I meant what I said this afternoon.
Well, then give me a minute or two to break off the meeting. It's too risky to get up and leave abruptly. These people live by ritual.
You've got 5 minutes. Alfaro?
Yes, senora.
I want you in the clearing in 5 minutes. Whether Mr. Harvey is with you or not. Do you understand?
I understand.
I'll expect you. Remember, 5 minutes, Frank.
Alfaro, tell the chief what I...
Rogo my evento.
What does he want?
He says he wishes to trade.
Tell him, Alfaro. Tell him he can have all the trunks, everything, anything.
Miro ganivendo se fende.
Vado.
Ask him what he wants, then.
Questamo bondo vendara.
Maro kinda si tama vinga undo sayo orgas kivaro.
Nado.
What is it, Alfaro?
I cannot tell you, senor. I cannot.
Tell me.
Senor.
I said, tell me.
He said that he will give you 10 heads.
Go on.
He will give you 10 heads for the head of the blonde woman who just walked out of here.
Tell him that the woman who just walked out of here is my wife.
Si, senor Harvey. Ondo saloras estombo sendimo.
Udo que stami salorgas di vedoro, vendamo ki mare santifanda.
Does he understand, Alfaro?
No, senor.
What do you mean?
He said, understand, senor. I only tell you what you want to know. He said, what good is a wife if you cannot trade her for something you want very much?
Come in. Franklin, come in. Oh, my boy, it's good to see you back. We've missed you at the museum. Welcome home.
Thanks, Clifton.
I'm terribly sorry about Edith.
Yes, I know. I wish I could have brought her home for a decent burial. But she died 4 days from the Popoyan village.
Too bad you failed when you were so close to success.
I didn't fail, Clifton.
What do you mean?
I brought you 10 of the Popoyan heads.
Manuel?
Huh?
How do you know of what has been done by Senor Harvey? And why should it make the despair upon you?
Well, I can answer but one question at a time, my friend.
Oh, forgive me.
Now, have I not already told you that the madness is upon the Senor?
See, you have.
Well, there you are. My cousin twice removed on my wife's side. He's with the police. His lips that I learned what Senor Harvey has told Vencerrado, the chief of police.
Si. But again, I must ask, what has this to do with you?
I will tell you.
Gracias.
Senor Harvey acted as a man desolate with grief at the loss of his wife, Doña Edith. But his reputation was assured when he returned with the 10 Popoyan shrunken heads.
But see, naturally.
Now, all this was almost 10 years ago.
One thing, Manuel.
What is that, Don Omar?
What of Alfaro? Why did he not tell her what happened?
Foolish, Ramon, not to know how silence can be bought with money.
Oh, no. Of course. Continue.
Besides, Alfaro died of the fever of the jungle not 2 years after. And so Senor Harvey embraced the world. But never did he return to Peru, Ecuador, or Colombia.
Then why did
I am coming to that, please.
Oh, I am rude. Forgive me.
Forgive him. For almost 10 years he was alone. Then he met the married woman, Doña Gloria, whom we know. Soon after the wedding, he was called to the office of Senor Clifton of the International Museum. It was there that the beginning of what was...
I got the report about a week ago. If it's true, there should be a wealth of information about the conquistador Orellana, Pizarro's lieutenant, who died over 400 years ago.
You know how I feel about going to Ecuador.
Surely, Frank, but...
Besides, Gloria and I want a honeymoon. We haven't really had one.
Well, we could make the trip to Ecuador our honeymoon, dear.
No, you don't understand, Gloria. It was in Ecuador.
I do understand, Frank. That's why I want to go. I want to be there with you. To help you fight whatever it is that's kept you away all these years. You can't fight it alone. Please let me help you.
I can't do it.
You've got to. There isn't a man in the profession that's as good at evaluating a find as you are.
What about Carson?
I want you.
Richards is available.
He can stay available. I want you.
Please, Frank.
Exactly what would you want me to do down there?
Good boy. You won't regret
it. I haven't said I was going. Tell me what you want done first.
Just this. Go to the village we mentioned, pick up the guide, and check the spot where Orellana was supposed to have had his main camp over 400 years ago.
Then what?
Well, that's it. If what this native stumbled on is really the old Orellana base camp, then there should be enough material around to fill in a blank spot in the story of the conquest of the Incas.
That's all?
That's all. Just check the authenticity of the find.
All right, I'll do it. But I warn you, I'm traveling light. No digging equipment. I'll check the find and send you a report within a week. Let somebody else dig the curios out.
Fine.
You'll take care of the passports, visas, and clearances with the Ecuadorian authorities.
You won't have to do a thing but pack.
How soon do you want me to leave?
Or how soon can you get ready?
Gloria?
Whenever you're ready, dear.
3 days, Clifton.
3 days it is.
Frank.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's all right. I didn't realize Ecuador meant so much to you.
It does. Very much.
We've been cooped up in this stinking hotel for a week now.
Frank, dear, sit down.
I can't sit down. If it hadn't been for the rain, I'd have been in and out of the village 2 days ago.
But it is raining, and we have to stay here. Please, don't torture
me. Oh, Gloria, please, leave me alone.
Well, I don't mean to bother you, Frank. I just hate to see you like this.
Do you think I like being this way?
Of course not. But if you'd only relax.
Oh, Gloria, please.
Must you drink so much? You've been drinking.
Will you shut up? If I want to drink, I'll drink.
I'm sorry.
Then why don't you think about what you're going to say before you say it? And you wouldn't have to be so everlastingly sorry all the time.
I was only trying to help.
I don't need any help.
Frank, what's the matter?
Nothing's the matter.
Oh, Frank, darling, don't.
This trip wasn't my idea. Remember that. Now, where's that other glass? Oh, here.
Frank?
What?
It stopped raining.
Let me see. Good.
Where are you going?
To the village to get my guide. I should be back in a few days.
Is there anything I can do?
Yes. Be packed and ready to leave for home as soon as I return.
Is that all?
That's all. I'll see you in a few days.
Brian.
Yeah?
Aren't you going to say goodbye?
Huh? Oh. Yes, of course.
Lots of luck, darling.
Yeah. Thanks. Goodbye.
Welcome, Senora. Welcome to the curio shop of Manuel Furtado. How may I be of service?
Well, I'm looking for a gift for a friend.
My shop is yours, Senora.
And, well, I'd like something unique.
Ah, you have come to the only place in Quito where it can be found. This way, please, Senora. Now, here is a dagger. Very, very old. Worn by Fernando Aguilar, a trusted lieutenant of the conquistador Don Alcazar.
Mm. Handsome. Mm. Shouldn't a relic like this be in a museum?
It should, Senora. But Manuel Furtado has a friend or two in the savage heart of Ecuador. And occasionally I manage to acquire some small tokens such as this.
Mm. I don't think I've ever seen one like this.
Of course not. It is the dagger of Aguilar. Observe the tracery of silver.
Mm-hmm.
How delicately the setting embraces the precious stone. Truly, it is magnificent.
Mm, yes, it is. But it's not what I'm looking for.
Then here. This necklace caress the throat of the daughter of Atahualpa, one of the greatest of the Incas.
Mm, exquisite.
Senora, the word is not sufficient to describe its beauty.
I know. But I can't buy it.
But why not?
Well, I'm looking for something for a man.
Oh, then the dagger is exactly the thing for him.
No, that's not it either. I'm looking for something really unusual. Really different.
Oh, if the senora requires something unusual, would she be interested in an article which my friends from the interior consider unusual, too?
Oh, yes.
It is quite expensive.
Well, I'll pay anything within reason.
It will cost somewhat more than you may be prepared to pay.
Well, why don't you let me be the judge of that?
Very well, Senora, if you will follow me.
Gloria? Gloria?
Oh, Frank, darling. Oh, it's been months.
It's been exactly 5 days.
It's been 5 years.
Oh, me too.
Well, what about the Oriana treasure?
The real thing. I checked it pretty carefully.
Oh, Clifton will be pleased.
Clifton. Any one of a half dozen men could have done what I did.
Mm, he didn't think so.
I do. I need a drink.
Oh, I found a bottle of Jameson in a little store around the corner.
Irish? Great. Where?
In the cabinet over there.
I'll get it. Let's get out of here. If I have to stay here another day, I'll lose my mind.
Just as soon as you're ready, dear.
That's right now.
Frank, don't you think...
Think what?
I'm
drinking too much? Go ahead and say it.
No. Not that. It's nothing. I have a surprise for you.
A surprise?
Mm-hmm. I found it at a curio shop in town.
Where is it?
Close your eyes.
Why?
Well, play the game my way or you don't get it at all.
All right. But it better be good.
It will be. Eyes shut.
Shut.
Give me a hand.
Here.
Follow me. Now, open.
Where did you get it?
A man. A man with friends in the interior. He said...
Don't tell me what he said. I know what he said.
But
he told you, didn't he? He told you about her.
Her? I don't understand.
Her. The head. He told you.
Frank.
He told you, didn't he? Now you know what happened to her.
Please,
Frank. Or did you have it figured out all the time? You and Clifton. That's what it was. You both knew about it before we even came here. Why I didn't want to come back. Why I was...
Stop it.
And you set it up to make me tell. You thought I'd see the head. And I'd tell you. Tell that I killed Edith.
Frank. You killed...
That's her. Look. Go on. Look at her.
Oh, no.
Look.
Frank. Frank, I didn't know. I didn't know.
Gloria. Gloria. Gloria!
And that, my friend, is why I am upset.
I see.
But what can I do? Life must go on.
Yeah, true. Well, I must tear myself away. I have other customers to visit. Oh, please, Manuel, can you give me your order now?
Oh, of course.
Ah, what is it you want this month?
Oh, my stock is moving a little slow this month. So for now, just give me 3 of the Fernando Aguilar daggers.
Sí.
5 of the Atahualpa necklaces.
Sí. That will be all?
That will be all. Ah. Hey, Ramon.
Hey, what is it, Manuel?
I almost forgot something.
Oh, what?
Make me up 6 shrunken heads.
Sí, I will do that.
Ramon.
Si, Manuel?
Make one of them blonde again. I like to have one in stock for the customer who wants something unusual.
Under the direction of Anthony Ellis, Escape has brought you Incident in Quito by Ross Murray, starring Larry Thor as Frank Harvey. Featured in the cast were Gene Bates, Edgar Berrier, Don Diamond, Faye Baker, Jack Crucian, and Tony Barrett. Editorial supervision is by John Meston, and the special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens.
From the makers of Coldwater Omo.
Excuse me, but you are Mrs. Appeal? I wish to see Mr. John Steed. I'm Capitan Jose, in my papers.
Captain Jose? But where is Steed? Didn't he keep the appointment?
The appointment? Non comprendo.
But you rang earlier, much earlier. You made an appointment and he went off in a taxi to visit you.
I not make an appointment. I not make the phone call. Is that what he said? That I called him?
I must have made a mistake.
Yes. I think you have, Mrs. Peel. So, Senor Steed, he's not here?
Not at the moment, no.
Then I shall call back later. Buenos dias.
Captain Jose of the Spanish Secret Service marched off the terrace of the Hotel Miranda, Tarragon, near Zaragoza, Spain. And Mrs. Peel watched him go, with a worried frown, asking herself the inevitable question.
Where the devil are you, Steve?
The Avengers.
John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
Episode 3 of this story, in which Emma Peel continues to search for John Steed, and Steed complicates matters for the enemy in a case that still has too many Olays. John Steed was in big trouble. He'd come to Spain as a mere observer at a peace conference to be held near Zaragoza, but had discovered a plot to sabotage the whole assembly by smuggling in an enemy agent disguised as himself. The agent chosen was a man called Nadine. Nadine would gain admittance to the conference by means of a forged pass and a remodeled face. The pass was easy. It was merely a copy of Steed's own pass. The face was a little more difficult. It became a replica of Steed's when a process of injections reformed it under a mold taken from Steed's face while he was unconscious. Steed was held prisoner pending the successful outcome of this intrigue. The man guarding him was Markin. Steed had been tied with his hands behind his back, but had managed to cut through the cords. When free, he'd hurled the contents of a bottle of wine at Markin. Steed landed a terrific punch. Markin sailed through the air, crashed into the wall of the room, and slid to the floor. Steed made off down the passage that led up to the bull ring.
Door unlocked. Bit of luck.
Steed emerged, blinking at the sunlight. Up in the stands, Dr. Verno was instantly on the alert. His companion Smarnoff took a firmer grip of his matador's sword. Verno stopped him.
No. Leave him to me. He's a splendid target. So.
John Steed ducked as bullets crashed into the barrier nearby. Smarnoff, under the cover of the fire, made a dash for Steed.
Well, one thing to beat. No haste to retreat.
Steed dodged back inside and slammed the door, locking it just as Smarnoff tried to enter.
Problem. Can't get out. How does that all happening?
Back in the main room, Steed stepped over the body of the still unconscious Markin and stared down at the table where all the face-transforming equipment lay. There were several molds of his own face and a batch of false passes.
One agent is supposed to impersonate me. A man called Bruno is going to deliver the equipment to him. Now, his name is Nadine. Yes, that's it. Here's the list of the other four agents who'll be called upon to act as Nadine fails. Karova, Rolla, Mintoff, and Giorgio. Now, what if all of them received a face-transforming kit and false passes? That would nail the lie, all right? Now, let me see.
Steed worked swiftly, taking extra photographs, patching them on the passes, fitting syringes and the bottles of necessary fluid into boxes, labeling them with the names of the other four agents. He'd just finished and placed the boxes with the one marked Nadine in the delivery suitcase when Arcos forced his way in. Steed wheeled round and pretended to be trying the grill of the small window above the bed.
All right, Mr. Steed, freeze.
In this heat? You've got to be joking.
Dr. Verno, attend to him.
Verno approached Steed, taking out a pair of handcuffs. Arcos covered them with a gun while Steed was handcuffed to the bed rail. Arcos crossed the unconscious Markin and slapped him into life.
Markin! Markin! Markin, you fool! Markin!
He jumped me. Oh, the suitcase. Has he tampered with it?
Arcos picked up the case.
No, the stuff is still in here. Bruno?
A young, good-looking Spaniard stepped out of the shadows.
That is for me to deliver, si, Senor Arcos.
Right away. Lose no time.
Si, Senor.
At one, senor. At one.
Bruno left the room. Steed watched him go with a sense of relief.
Hello.
A short way away, a large saloon car was stirring the dust from the open road. Behind the wheel was Baron von Kurt. Alongside him, Emma Peel.
It is extremely nice of you to allow me to drive you, Emma.
Selfish, I'm afraid. There is a motive behind this.
May I ask what?
I'd rather you didn't. I want to go up to the old mountain road.
Oh, very well.
You do know it?
Of course, I know this district very well indeed. But you are so thoughtful. I thought we might have fun. You are so serious.
Sorry. I've got a lot on my mind. I'm so sorry.
There's no need to be sorry. When you're worried, there's a delightful pucker between your eyebrows that I find most charming.
I think this is the place. Yes. Would you mind stopping here, ahead by that wall? Thank you.
The Baron looked at Mrs. Peel with some surprise, but he obeyed. He parked the car by the wall, under the shade of a tree.
Shan't be long.
Mrs. Peel left the road and clambered down the bank, heading for a clearing between the olive trees. In the clearing was a caravan. By the caravan, stirring something in a large pot, was, of all people, Mother.
Aha, Mrs. Peel. Nice of you to drop in.
Mother, Steve's missing.
How does this smell to you? Time for too much garlic, do you think? Missing for how long?
Several hours.
Yes, I think that is a trifle too much. Yeah, well, I shouldn't worry, Mrs. Peel. Lots of diversions in this country, you know. Bullfights, dancing, just an ordinary siesta, perhaps.
But he went to see Captain Jose.
Ah, that's it then. Probably spitting a bottle of red wine right now. They do a very fine light claret type in this area, and I really don't...
Mother, I've just seen Jose. He knows nothing about Steve's visit.
Oh, dear. Not at the hotel, either. Or with Jose. Then the question is, where is he? Have you kept all this to yourself?
Yes. I didn't tell Jose.
Good girl. No sense in our panicking, either. Go back to your hotel.
And if anything happens?
I'll let you know immediately. Now, run along there. That's a good girl. Let me enjoy my holiday. Oh, dear, I do hate roughing it.
And with that, Mother poured half a bottle of dry sherry into the pot, and Mrs. Peel returned to the Baron in his car.
Where to now?
Back to the hotel. And thank you for not asking questions.
Back at the very same hotel, the Miranda, the agent Nadine received the parcel from the delivery boy, Bruno.
Ah, merci, sir. I'm to be Jean Steed, am I? I just followed the instructions and I come to look exactly like Steed. Very well. Can I offer you a drink, Bruno?
Thank you, no, Signor Nadine. I have four more deliveries to make. Please to excuse me.
And so Bruno left to deliver the other parcels in other parts of the town. Where Perova accepted his.
Oh, gracias, Bruno. I become the Steed, eh?
Rolla?
Ah, merci, Bruno.
Mintop.
Thank you, Bruno.
Giorgio.
Mille grazie. Mi Steed. Good.
All accepted their parcels and prepared to turn themselves into replicas of John Steed. In Nadine's case, something went wrong.
One fills the syringe with the fluid, so, and then injects. So, now, place the mold of Steed's face over my honest mask, and not to wait.
Nadine lay down on the bed in the hotel room on the same floor as Mrs. Peel's, and some while later found himself fighting for breath. He managed to pull off the mask, which rolled onto the floor and under the bed, and then his face contorted into a horrible, distorted version of John Steed's. Nadine collapsed backwards. In the enemy headquarters, under the bullring, John Steed tested the strength of the bed rail to which he was handcuffed. He exerted a fair amount of pressure and had the satisfaction of seeing the rail bend slightly. He applied more strength while carefully watching Arcos and Markin,
who are playing cards.
You win. You are lucky today, Arcos.
It is the skill, not the luck, Markin. How long has Bruno been gone?
2 hours.
And the peach conference has its first sitting at 2:30.
See, not long now.
Any minute and our man will be on his way there.
And John Steed thought,
on their way there.
But one of them wouldn't be. Down the corridor of the Hotel Miranda, a bedroom maid ran screaming. Emma Peel and the Baron, hearing the cries, rushed upstairs and into the room. There, on the bed, lay the dead man.
Steed! Steed!
But Emma, look. That face.
It isn't Steed. Oh, Kurt, it's like something out of a horror film. Half that face is Steed, and the other half is no face at all.
Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Speed and Emma Peel, The Avengers. Brought to you by the makers of Coldwater Omo.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventures? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape!
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are at the end of a journey you've committed murder to make. A barren wasteland of India, silent, desolate, where there is a cave and a carved image of the goddess Kali, whose heart is a ruby big as a grenade, and which is guarded by a smiling old man from whom there is no escape.
Listen now as Escape brings you Ross Murray's story, The Heart of Kali.
It's been a long time. Exactly how long, I don't know. The years pile up and it's hard to remember. But the beginning is easy. The beginning was a bar on the San Francisco waterfront early in 1946. Anton Korchak, owner of the Sea Nest, had put a new bartender on, and I waited a week before I made my pitch. It got a reaction. Funny, Whitey?
Kills me.
Well, I'm telling you, it's true.
Kid, if I believed every story about an idol with a ruby for a heart, I'd think I'm out of my mind.
I'll listen. All I need's a few hundred bucks.
Oh, you listen. Every waterfront bum comes in here has got a dream to hawk. They sell for a beer. You want a few hundred.
Yeah, but it's true, I tell you. This ruby's as big as a hand grenade, yeah. And it's there for the taking.
Now, why didn't you take it when you had the chance, Benny?
Had to get out of the cave when I heard my patrol start shooting. What good was a ruby in my pocket and a Jap bullet in my back?
Look, nobody told you to come back to the States when you got mustered out either, did they?
Couldn't help it, Whitey. I got malaria. They shipped me out of India before the war ended.
Well, it was 2 years ago. How do you know the ruby's still there?
I know it is. It's in a temple. All I have to do is... What's the matter?
What do you suppose all them swamis around the temple are going to be doing while you grab the ruby? Clap hands?
Yeah, but the only one near the idol's an old man. He's just sitting there looking at it. Whitey, it's a cinch, honest. Come on, invest 500, get back maybe 100,000.
Beat it, kid. I got work to do.
Whitey.
Me and the sawed-off ball bat, Danny. I'll beat it.
Late, mister.
Hmm? Oh, well, sure, mate. Here you are.
Thanks. You an A.B.?
Me? No, why?
Well, you're standing in front of the old tub here, and I figured you were maybe looking to be signed on.
No, I wasn't.
She's heading out in a half hour. Stick around. Maybe somebody won't show.
Yeah? Where's she headed for?
Other side of the world. India.
India, huh?
Yeah.
Calcutta?
No, Chandpur.
Where's that?
100 miles east.
Oh. You sure they're signed up full?
Yeah. You want to go?
Yeah, I want to go.
We'll take a passenger.
Mm-hmm. How much?
100 and a half.
With grub?
Captain's table for 175. Folks will grub for 100 and a half.
Okay. When are you leaving?
Since the first and the engineer come aboard.
When's that?
When they can't afford any more beer.
How much is that in time?
I told you.
You told a stranger, mister. Now maybe you're telling a passenger.
Half an hour the most. Captain don't like to wait.
I won't have to. I'll be back. I started back for the sea nest. Somebody had to listen to me. The ruby, the heart of Kali, it beat inside me like it was my own. I knew I'd do anything to get my hands on it. I'd found the way to get to India. And now all I needed was the money to buy it. It was only a few minutes before closing when I got there. Whitey was mopping up the bar, and the place was empty.
Hey, Whitey.
Bar's closed, kid.
I don't want a drink. Come here. Come here. I got something to tell you.
What's on your mind?
Whitey, I can get passage to India. All I need's 100 and a half.
Beat it.
Well, where's Mr. Korchak?
Back room checking receipts. Why? No. Can't go back there, Danny.
Get your hands off. You try to stop me, Whitey, I'll kill you.
Go on in, kid.
Come in.
Can I see you for a minute, Mr. Korchak?
What do you want, then?
Look, Mr. Korchak, I'll make it fast. You know about me being in Burma, that ruby I saw there.
My bartender told me.
Well, it's the truth. Whitey knows that I saw it.
Leaving now, Mr. K. Everything's locked up for the night.
Okay. Good night, Whitey.
Night, Danny.
What do you want for me, Danny?
Listen, Mr. Korchak, all I need's 150 bucks. I can get passage to India for that. It's only 100 and a half. Now, please, Mr. Korchak, I...
Don't ask for money, Danny. A beer, maybe, but cash, no.
Mr. Korchak...
Get lost, kid.
But the boat leaves...
I said get lost, kid.
Okay, let me tell you something.
Danny...
Listen to me! I'll make you rich for a lousy 100 and a half.
Get out of my place. You come in here again, I throw you to the seagulls.
100 and a half, Korchak. You're gonna give it to me?
Yeah, I guess I got to make you believe me.
You shouldn't have done that, Korchak.
Huh?
Now, I got to twist this round in you.
trouble.
You try it, Danny, and you're going to...
You should have given me that doll. It's a lot cheaper than dying.
Hey, mister. You're just in time. We're shoving off.
I told you I'd be back, didn't I?
That's what a lot of them say.
Okay, let's go.
Hold on, matey.
What's the matter?
Let's see the color of your money.
Money, yeah. Here.
Got a live one. Must be close to... How much in that bundle?
Look.
Price just went up to 2.5 with Fokesil grub.
Hey, what are you trying to do to me?
That's the price. Take it or no.
Let me see the captain.
You're looking at him, boy. I'm the captain. 250.
Okay. 250. Let's go.
Climb aboard. Next stop, Chonpur.
You Mr. Macon?
Yes?
Captain the Paxton told me to come and see you. Said you could find me a small boat and a guide.
I can. When do you wish these things?
As soon as possible.
Where do you wish to go?
You know where Tinsukia is?
Macon knows India well.
Oh, what's the best way to go?
Your boat will take you north up the Brahmaputra River. Then you will go overland west to Tinsukia.
Yeah, how long will that take?
I should say 2 weeks.
Okay, let's get going.
All charges are in advance.
How much?
$500 American.
I don't have that much.
How much have you?
$300.
Please, do not lie to me.
$300.
Captain Evans of the Paxton has already notified me that you have at least 400.
I don't.
Then how much?
$350. You take it or I shop around.
Be back here tomorrow morning and I will take you to your boat.
And what about my guy?
He will be there.
You better be.
Good day.
I was there the next morning. We went to the boat I'd rented. It wasn't much, but I took it. Subhas, my guide, got her wound up and we started upriver for Tinsukia. Up till the time we left, Macon tried to find out why I wanted to go there. I told him nothing. On the fifth day out of Chandpur, Subhas, who hadn't said a dozen words to me in all that time, came back to the stern of the boat and sat down beside me.
Sahib?
Yeah?
Why are you making this trip?
Macon asked you to find out?
No, no, Sahib. I ask for myself.
Why?
Because I do not wish evil to happen to you.
Thanks.
But it will happen to you.
How do you know?
Macon wishes it so.
Why?
He says you know much gold buried near Tinsukia.
He's crazy.
Is he?
Yep.
Then why did he instruct me to kill you when you found it?
What?
The truth, Sahib, I'm to kill you when you find the gold.
Subhas, let me tell you something. I'm not looking for gold.
Oh, I'm glad you are not looking for gold. I would not like to kill you.
Subhas.
Is Sahib Gandhi?
How much longer?
Oh, we will be on the river 2 more days and we will go on land to Tinsukia.
Well, I don't want to go to Tinsukia.
Then where?
I want to go 10 miles or so northwest.
Well, what is there?
Well, there was a big army camp there during the war. You remember it?
Oh, yes, I was the guide then, too.
Well, you take me there, huh?
Yes.
was after my outfit came over the Pangsaw Pass out of Burma that I found the Temple of Kali. Then we'd moved on to Tinsukia. All I wanted was to get to the site of the old army camp. I could make it from there on my own. But the closer I got to the heart of Kali, the crazier I got. Nothing mattered anymore, what I had to do or who I had to kill to get what I wanted. We finished the trip upriver and started overland. It was rough, jungle and rain, and the old malaria kicking it up. 5 days later, we were on the site of the old army camp. This is far enough, Subhas.
But there is nothing here.
There's enough. This is as far as we're going.
Then we shall rest before we return.
I'm not going back.
Then what are we...
I got to do the rest of this alone, Subhas.
You have no need for the gun. I know nothing of what you do.
No, but you would if you stayed with me any longer.
But I do not...
I left him there, and I walked on for another half a day, and then just as I'd remembered it, a cave opening almost hidden by scrub on the far side of a small clearing. I went in, and I saw it again. At the far end of the cave, the idol, Kali, and in the flickering light of the lamp, its heart. I moved closer to it. And then I saw him, the same little old, old man I'd seen 2 years before, in that same attitude of prayer. I moved again, and he sat there, hardly seeming to breathe. And then I was ready. I ran toward the idol, my hands reaching for the ruby. And then the ground opened beneath me, and I fell. 1,000 hands clawed at me, held me, struck at me. And above, the heart of Kali shone scarlet. I don't know how long I fought them, but the time came when I couldn't fight anymore. And so I quit and let whatever it was drift over me. When I came to, he was standing at the foot of the straw pallet I was on. He was tall, gaunt, dressed in a ceremonial robe that reached to the floor.
I am Adram, the elder sannyasi of the Temple of Kali. Your name is Daniel Karlin, I believe.
Yeah, how do you know mine?
Your wallet, your papers of identification, your money, they are all there beside you.
Look... about that ruby.
There is no need for you to explain, Mr. Carlin. I am aware of your emotion concerning the ruby. Our emotion, on the other hand, the emotion of my people, has its roots in religious beliefs, in the beauty of life.
Get to the point.
The point?
Yeah, stop playing cat and mouse with me. If you're going to kill me, do it. Get it over with. If it's torture you got in mind, then you shouldn't have let me live. Because I'm not having any.
Party, c'est là.
Hey! Listen, you kill me if you want, but no torture. You kill me, but kill me fast.
Oh, no, no, my friend. We will do you no further harm. There will be no more violence done. Release him.
What are you going to do to me?
We wish to honor you.
What?
I said you are to be honored. Listen, there is already music. That you are here. And tonight we have a Bata feast, the feast of the reward, and you will be the honored guest at that feast.
But why reward me?
To prove to you that we have no hatred for him who desires the heart of Kali.
What is the reward?
You will know at the moment of bestowal.
Reward? Something I can take with me when I leave?
The emotion again concerning the ruby?
You just said you don't hate me for it.
No. Come. Come, I will show you the place of the feast.
Mm-hmm.
This is the feasting hall where you will be the honored guest tonight.
Adran.
Yes.
How do I know for sure that I won't end up on that altar there? One of your people standing over me, ready to start butchering?
You have my words.
How do I know that's enough?
Why do you torment yourself, my friend? Had I wished it, you could have been a sacrificial lamb long before this.
I want to see the old man that sits in front of the idol.
You will see him tonight.
And who is he in this setup?
You will know tonight. Now, I think you had better go back to your room, lie down, and wait.
No.
Are you afraid?
Yeah, I am.
Believe me when I say your life is precious to us now.
Doubt that.
Do not. I speak the truth.
That's the trouble. I get the feeling I'd be better off if you lied to me.
Go rest for the feast.
I went back to my straw mat and I laid down. But the fear wouldn't go. There was a catch in this whole operation. I couldn't nail it down. Adram was convincing, but I'd heard too much about the followers of Kali to believe him. His attitude of nonviolence had a false spot somewhere. I couldn't find it. I knew that I had to get out of the temple before the feast started, but there was only one way in or out, and that was through the cave and over the trap door in front of the idol. Someone had to trip the door physically before it could fall open. I decided to make my exit look legitimate by taking somebody with me. Pani, Adram's assistant, was standing guard outside my cubicle. I picked him.
Pani! Pani, come here! Come here, quick!
What is it? What is wrong?
Come here. Look, help me up. It's my back.
The fall. Yeah. Perhaps the fall could have twisted you.
Don't you move or I'll break your...
No!
Try it once more, I'll kill you. No. Where'd they put my gun when they brought me here? Where?
It is here in this room.
Huh?
In the pack you wore when you arrived. It is there in the corner.
Okay. Move. What do you know?
What are you going to do?
I'm leaving. You're going with me for a while for insurance.
Very well.
Aren't you going to give me any argument?
It is the wish of Adram that I do your bidding.
Okay. No, wait a minute.
Have you changed your mind?
No, I'm just going to check this gun. You're too happy about this whole thing. Clip's still full. I thought maybe... nothing's right about this whole setup. Let's get going.
But Adram...
Just in case you don't know it, this .45 can put a hole in you as big as a fist. Now move. Where are we now?
We are behind the idol.
Wait a minute. What about the old man?
He will not speak to us, nor attempt to stop us.
How do you know?
I know.
Okay. Well, let's move. Remember, if that trap door opens, you get dipped. So no signals, huh?
No.
Wait a minute.
What is wrong?
As long as I'm getting out like this, I might as well get what I came for.
The heart of Kali?
Yeah. Now, back toward it. I got it. Now, start walking. Like you're leading me out, I'll kill you if you hesitate for a second, you understand?
I understand.
And then get going.
My friend, the butter feast is almost at an end, and yet not one morsel of food has passed your lips.
I'm not hungry.
Are you afraid you will be poisoned?
Yeah.
I will be your taster, if you wish.
Adram, why didn't you kill me for trying to escape?
Because your attempt was a normal reaction. You harmed no one.
No, but I tried.
But you had provocation. Man always lashes out at the unknown. It is to be expected.
Yeah, but I had that trap door open as soon as Pani stepped off it. Who knew that I wasn't supposed to leave?
The old man who sits near the idol.
But I looked at him as I passed by. He just sits there. Looks at the idol. He doesn't seem to know what's going on around him.
He is aware of only two things in life. The heart of Kali and the Bata feast. He knew of the feast. And he knew that if you left, there would be none. Therefore, you are the only excuse for living that he has.
Still don't understand.
You will. The music has ended. Now, the ceremony of the reward will begin.
Adram,
Set your mind at ease, my friend. No physical violence will be inflicted upon you.
Adram, I have a question.
What is it, my friend?
Has anybody else ever tried to steal the ruby?
That is an intelligent question.
Yeah.
I will answer it when the time comes.
Why not answer it now?
I will answer it in a moment. Remember what I once said to you. Your life is precious to us.
Advance, guardian of the heart of Kali.
Asked before whether anyone else had tried to steal the heart of Kali. The answer, my friend, is yes. Almost 45 years ago, it was attempted. At that time, we also had a Bata feast, the feast of the reward.
Adram, listen to me.
And in keeping with the laws of the temple, the thief received the reward which he now entrusts to you, the right to possess the heart which he so desired.
No, I don't want it.
For 40 years, the old man has been guardian of the heart. For 40 years, he has waited for one to love the heart as he did. Now, he will surrender it to you.
No, I don't want...
We greet you, guardian of the heart. From this day to the next feast of the reward, may you be close to and love that heart which shall be before you. Hail the new guardian.
How long ago was that? How many years? How many lifetimes? I don't even look at the ruby anymore. All I know is I've got my hand on the trapdoor switch, and somebody has to walk across it someday. Why not you? Oh, that ruby, that red heart, it's yours. It's as big as a grenade, and it's yours. Take it. Come and take it. Please. Please, somebody, come and get me. Please.
Under the direction of David Friedkin and Morton Fine, Escape has brought you The Heart of Kali, a story by Ross Murray. Featured in the cast were Paul Richards and Edgar Berrier. Also heard were Jack Crucian, Clayton Post, Lou Merrill, Herb Butterfield, Lou Krugman, and Paul Fries. Your announcer, George Walsh. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Next week... Thank you. That's right, Gunsmoke. Now a word from William Conrad, who many of you know as Marshal Matt Dillon of Dodge City.
Thank you, George. You know, today marks the last of the current series of escape programs, and I know you will miss it as much as I shall. However, I would like to think that all of you who have listened to Escape these many months will now be able to take your pleasure in listening to Gunsmoke. Yes, starting next week, Gunsmoke will come to you on a new day at a new time. Chester, Doc, Kitty, and I, together with all of our strong-minded, brawling, hard-living citizens of Dodge, will come to you next Saturday, October the 2nd. So, goodbye for Escape. And we hope you'll all tune in to your local CBS radio station next Saturday, October 2nd, for Gunsmoke. Until then, thank you, and good night.
Have a good evening and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwick from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby. Thank you.